Last time we left off, in the middle of this discussion here, of overhanging letters, the letters that go beyond the margin. So it was sort of spelled out straight from the Gemara, straight to the Beis Yosef, straight.
Is there armor covers for that part?
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
I
gotta post them again. Okay.
I was late.
You're tardy, you don't get the assignment.
Okay. So we could just read this part out of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll get into the issue in the Beis Yosef. So in Shulchan Aruch Gimel, I think we did a bunch of this last week. Just to review, page 3, I guess, there's Beis Yosef pages and there's Shulchan Aruch pages in the source sheet.
Okay.
Right? There you go. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, page 3, Gimel. Right, the page under my oversized fingers appear.
Yes.
All right. So in Sif Gimel it says Nizdamlo Loteva Behe Osios. Right. So if you have a letter, and this is straight out of the Gemara, if you have a word that has 5 letters, Vel Yichtov Shtai Mitzoch Hadaf VeGimel Chutzladaf, and you don't write 2 words within the margin and 3 outside the margin, elikosiv gimel besoch hadaf v'shtayim chutz ladaf. Rather write 3 within the daf and 2 outside of the daf. V'im ein makom kedei lichtov gimel betoch hadaf, and if there's not enough room for that, yaniach hamakom chelek v'lo yimsho chalak, I guess. You should leave it smooth. What? Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yes? A chalak, okay. V'lo yimsho chaosios lasos and gadolos. And don't drag the letters out to make them bigger. Don't make any of the other letters big. Now, in the Megillas Esther, that is like the normal thing to do, to make letters big, especially as you get towards the end, perhaps to make these Hamelech Megillas. Perhaps that's why the Sofrim aren't so thrilled about the Hamelech Megillas, because the word Hamelech doesn't appear as much towards the end of the Megillah as it does in the beginning of the Megillah. Shulchan is not a fan of making letters larger, even though they're still technically letters, right? To make a hey very, like an inch wide, which conceivably you could do, we're not so excited about doing that. V'teva bas gimel osios, and if you have a letter that's 3 letters, now this is already out of the Gemara. The Gemara just talks about a 5-letter word. What about a 3-letter word? Yachol lichtov mimena shtayim chutz ladaf. So you could write 2 outside of the daf, afal pisha miyutu bifnim, even though only a minority of it is inside. Meaning when the Gemara, the only thing the Gemara told us was, yeah, if you have 5 letters, 3 have to be within the margin and 2 have to be outside the margin. Now why is it that where does it get that, what is the halacha though, right? What about if it's a different size letter word? So there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush as to whether that means a 2-letter maximum outside the margin, or the majority of the word has to be within the margin, right? That's the machlokas here. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like the Rush, that bas gimel osios yachol lichtov v'men eshtayim chutz ladaf, afa pisha miyuto bifnim. You could still write 2 letters outside, even though a little bit has to be inside of alimain, but el eshtay osios lo yichtoven chutz ladaf. But if the whole word is only 2 letters, right, so then that can't be outside the margin. That would then be pushed down to the next line. Okay, so that's halacha A. Now I am not this. The Nana quotes this Rama. I'm not really sure what this Rama is adding. But he says vafilu im beis osios hei miteva gedola. Even if those 2 letters are from a large word, venirim kemo teva bifnei atzma lo yichtavam al hagilion, and it looks like it's its own word. Now, even I'm not sure when that would be, why you would have two letters at the end of a word that looks like its own word. I'm not sure why that would come about. You shouldn't write those then on the margin. I don't really know what the case is that the Rama is referring to. Okay, so that's Sif Gimel. However, and then Sif Dalid, he seems to go with the other opinion, the opinion of the Rambam. But he says, Nizdam lo teva bas eser osios, if you have a word that is 10 letters long, o pachos o yoser, or more or less, lo nishar mi hashita kedei lichtov eskulen, you don't have enough to write the entire word, biso chadaf im yipo lichtov Chetzia betocha daf, chetzia chutzla daf, kosev. If you could write half and half, which means that you're going to have five letters outside of the margin, still you could go ahead and do that. Kosev vim la, but if not, if you're going to have the majority of the letters outside, maniach hamakom panuy marchu mitchilas hashita. So then leave the spot open and write in the beginning of the next line. Now that seems to go against the previous thing, right? The previous thing seems to be going that it's two letters, and that's it, whether two letters is the majority of the word or whether two letters is the minority of the word. And then Siv Dalet, he seems to be saying, no, if it's the majority, as long as the minority, as long as it's less than half the word, so then it's permitted to be sticking out into the margins. So he seems to be going according to the both. Now, the truth is, it's not necessarily a problem, because, as the next halacha says, that all these things are only mitzvah min hamufchar and v'mishina kasher. And if it gets mixed up, it's going to be kasher anyway. So it could be not that the Shulchan Aruch is saying, oh, it doesn't really matter. Shulchan Aruch might just be saying that you could go lekula on both accounts. We could go leniently with both questions. Meaning, even if it's two letters that would be outside of a three-letter word, that's still okay. And even if it's four letters outside of a nine-letter word, that would also be okay, even though that seems to be a contradictory between the Rambam versus the Rush. So the Shach on the side of the page here says im yachu lichtov chetzia. So mashma dafil yosem gimel osios, right? Even if it's going to be more than three letters, yachu lichtov chutz ladaf kiven she'ino rov hateva. But zamo suleiz v'chein perish abach. Aval afini es daisi ikur lahachmer karash. So the Shach picks up on that and says, okay, but I think you should be machmir like the Rush against the Rambam. I just lost the place here. I have a tour. The dafka teva shel dalet osios. Only if it's a four-letter word, you can write half of it outside the thing. If al gimel osios chutz ladaf, afal gav sherov hateva tochadaf lo yasa came. If you're going to have more than two letters, meaning three letters outside of the margin, so that you shouldn't do. V'chein das ha-smach v'gos maimini shekasu gabi tefillin shel yichtov shlusha osios chutz l'shita. That it says in Hilchos Tefillin that you should not write three letters outside of the margin. V'lamdu came, and they learned it out from Sefer Torah. U'mevi'im beis Yosef v'arachayim simen lamed beis v'chein kasev ha-tor v'machaber sham sif lamed gimel. And he says, and it appears to me that the Mechaber seems to be contradicting himself. Not contradicting himself between Gimel and Dalet, right, which we just pointed out. The Shach says we should be Machmir and Paskin straight up like the Rush, that two letters outside the margin and that's it, no more. But the Shach then points out that the Mechaber himself seems to contradict himself in Hilchos Tefillin. Because in Hilchos Tefillin, there are also columns that need to be made. And over there in Hilchos Tefillin, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch is machmir about this and says, you can't go beyond the margin more than two letters. So why is it that in Hilchos Sefer Torah, he seems to permit the Mechaber himself, the Shulchan Aruch, permits going out into the margins more, putting out three, four, five letters into the margin, assuming that it's not going to be the majority of the word. While in Hilchos Tefillin, he does not permit that. Why is that okay? The Shach asks it, and he leaves it v'tzarachin. He leaves it as a question. Okay, following... There's a lot more room in the Torah. Well, not necessarily, because in Tefillin, happen to have a Tefillin parsha on hand here. There's not much room in the margin. But I don't think it's ma'akiv. I'm thinking Hilchos Tefillin, I'm not sure there's a size to how much there needs to be there. Furthermore, in the... in the single parshios, well, I guess here they ended, but there's no maximum. I mean, you could have a larger margin. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having, right? So he's saying even in this, even if you extend the margin somewhat, he would say that would be problematic to have it sticking out from the other columns. There. It happens in in our, well, we'll get into this a little bit later on. The older Sifrei Torah, yes. Newer Sifrei Torah, I believe not. Because as we've said before, and we'll talk about it a little bit more now, the modern Sifrei Torah are all following the same pattern. So pretty much everything written in the last, I'm not sure the history exactly about what got in and what didn't, and when it changed and how quickly it changed over. Meaning the invention, as we'll see, is the figuring out how to have a good Sefer Torah, according to one of the items at the bottom of the page, which we'll get to. The Aruch HaShulchan has it already, which means that it's in the late 1800s. However, just because the Aruch HaShulchan had it in Navardic, it doesn't mean that every sofer in Europe was using it, right? It just means that it had started to get out. Okay, so there is in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, actually I'm not sure in Hilchos Tefillin, this comes up a little bit later on, there is a halacha also about not extending, that the columns cannot go extend three columns in a row. This is like this is the example that they give as to, don't just think you could check mezuzahs on your own. And that is there is a halacha that's not found in Hilchos Tefillin or Hilchos Mezuzah, but it's found in Hilchos Mezuzah, not in Hilchos Tefillin, which is what most sofrim learn, that you cannot extend you can't have what's called a kippah, a crown, which means that you're gonna like extend three lines in a row. One line is further than the next, and one next line is further than the next. It has to be equal or jagged, but it can't be three in a row like that. So that's a separate halacha, which we'll get to later. I forget if it's the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah or the beginning of Hilchos Mezuzah. Okay, so how do we resolve this stira, however, this contradiction between Hilchos Tefillin versus Hilchos Sefer Torah? So the Pisgei Tshuva discusses this question on the bottom. The Pisgei Tshuva in Hay on the bottom of this page says Lichtov Chetzi B'Soch Hadach. He says Ayin Shach Shenira Lo Iker LaHachmer KaRush. The Shach wants to be machmer like the Rush. The Lo Yishar Gimel Osios Afsha Teva Gadol. Not to leave over three letters, even if it's big letters. Even if it's a big word, I'm sorry. So v'hiksha d'divrei ha-machaber, Sostrum zed tzisha, machaber pasakan ka-rambam, that here in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rambam passes like the Rambam, the af kama osios chutz l'shita mutra, that even if there's a lot of letters outside, it's permissible, im nishar chetzi toch ha-shita, so long as half of them are within the column, right? V'uv orachayim simon lamed beis, pasak ha-rash, v'chein hiksha magin avram sham, sifkatan memva, v'ayin b'tshuva, Okay. He says it's not a problem. But he wants to say that the Teva Shaba Vav Ozayin Osios, that the letters there, or the words there, that are six or seven letters, Shirushrios, Kemo Mitushal, Shivasayim, Mahalalel, Polishtim, Kaftorim, V'chedome, right, those examples of letters, vadai talinan berov. There you could rely on rov. V'imchetzi etoch hashita, it would be permissible. What's he saying there? He's saying, I think I have trouble understanding this as well, but he seems to be saying that in the Sefer Torah, the large words are, the entire word is important. The entire word is the main shoresh of the word, or a name, as those examples given. So there, because the whole thing is berov v'im chetzia tocha shita mutter, so long as half of it is within the shita, it would be okay. Amnam teva asher os harishon lepeula. However, in a word where the first letter is the causative word. Is that what we say? Like, is the action part of it? Kagon, livhemtecha, what?
Really a preposition.
Okay. Livhemtecha viavartem vishinantem litotafos bazelish lifsod karash. When the first letter is going to be a preposition, thank you.
Or a conjunction,
okay. So then we have to paskin like the rush. Why? Because then the half that's sticking out the end is actually ends up being the majority of the word. Right? Because if we're going to say in tefillin, the letter, what he's suggesting is the longer words in tefillin are begin with a preposition, right? Begin with one of those, a vav or a le, a ve, right? And therefore, that might not be counted towards the count. Lefize, the Sefer Torah, Shiesh Mea Tevos, in the Sefer Torah where there's 100 letters, Kamo, Metushal, Shashorish, Vav, Ozayin, Osios, Kasher, Shanishar, Chetzia. That the entire thing is Vav or Zayin letters, meaning that's the whole word is the source of the word. So then half of it is half of it. As opposed to tefillin, Eifshar Limtzozeh, you're not going to find it. Ki lo matzinu teva b'chol dalad parshios, you don't find one letter, one word in all four parshios, shiyu shisha osios, which is six letters, below pa'ula, without a conjunction being added in, except for v'hayivusi, not the vav, but the hayivusi, although a hey also, I would think, I don't know, right, v'tevos hotzianu, la'avusenu, ve'ilu tevos eifshar limtzo sof hashita, but those letters, those words, you're not going to find at the end of a line. I didn't figure out where those are, whether it's just what's in the beginning or that's because the style, meaning it's the same thing. All tefillin is also pretty much written in the same exact way today. But that's what he suggests, that it's that in tefillin, the longer letter words all include prepositional letters, and therefore those letters don't count towards the total count of the number of the word, and therefore you'll end up with the majority of the word outside the margins of the line. That's a little hard to understand from we grow up thinking that every letter of the Sefer Torah is important, right? Like how can you say the end or the v or the le is like not an important part of the word? But anyways, that's what he suggests to decipher this distinction. Now he does not go on and say that, oh, so then in a Sefer Torah, if you're going to put a bunch of the letters outside the margin, you better make sure there's no preposition in the front. I don't know, he doesn't make that extension either. So, but anyways, that's an approach to figuring out this distinction between the Mechaber and the Ramah.
So if the word has seven letters, let's say, you need to keep four in the English?
Yeah, I think that's the way I understood it, yeah. Okay. So then we get to Sif Hei, where the Mechaber says Kol Elu Hadvarim Einam Elo LeMitzvah Min HaMufchar VeIm Shina Kasher. He says all of these things are only Mitzvah Min HaMufchar, and if you change it, you know, if it's a little bit different, so then it's Kasher. I assume he means everything in the beginning half of the siman, which had to do with the size of the margins on top and the margins in between and the letters that are sticking out of the side, right? It seems like all of those seem to be not ma'ake, that they're not going to be required. How did he know that? How does the Mechaber know that? It's not, the Gemara doesn't say you don't have to worry about that. So that's found in the, it's not in the Beis Yosef, but the Kesef Mishnah, on the side of the Rambam points out that that there was a case in the Gemara. I already discussed this last week, that there was a case there. The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Beis is not in the Maor Makomos, but he quotes these halachos in Halacha Aleph and Beis, and concludes by saying Chol Hashirim Eil LeMitzvah V'Im Chaser Ohet Ohutar Lo Pasul. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit larger. We're not going to passel it. How do you know that? So says the Kesef Mishnah that Nilman Midat, that from the Gemara said that Rafuna wrote 70 Sifrei Torah and not one of them was able to reach this shir. Not one of them was able to get to this amount. So the Kesef Mishnah says, okay, does it mean he wrote 70 puzzle Sifrei Torah? So that probably is not what it means. It means that he couldn't get it perfect, but it doesn't mean that it's not kosher if it's missing some of those sizes. So take a look back. It's not on the page, it's not discussed. If you go back to the Beis Yosef, which I guess is page 1 on the source sheet, right? So if you go back to page 1 under Hey, So the Beis Yosef there says, right, what we just said, all these things are mitzvah and mofkar, and if it's missing it, it's kosher. That's what the Rambam says. And adds the Bedek HaBayis. Now, who's the Bedek HaBayis? The Bedek HaBayis is the Beis Yosef in his second edition. Not sure, I don't know why he's adding this in here, why it wasn't there originally, but he says, okay, so how, are all these things mentioned? Is it okay if it's missing all of it? So, V'chasav Amar Rikta B'chlal Zeh Kosev Gimel Osios Miteva Bahei Chutz L'Dafta B'di'evet Kosher. So Marik says, yeah, that if you have a five-letter word, we just got through saying about how it's two and three, etc., but says the Ma'arik, okay, that's all l'chavchila, that's all ideal, but b'di'evet, if you got three letters outside the margin, b'di'evet, it's going to be okay. Now, just keep in mind, whenever you get into the laws of Stam, I always have this, I have this problem, the mezuzah tillin business, right? What does the word b'di'evet mean, right? What is the psak about b'di'evet? You say a mezuzah is kosher b'di'evet. Right? So what does that mean? So it can mean a whole bunch of things. B'di'evet could mean if you wrote it already, we're going to say that, oh, it's okay. We're not going to say that it's no good. It might mean if you bought it already, we're not going to say that it's no good. It might mean if you put it on your wall already, don't worry, we're not going to say it's no good. Right? Or b'di'evet, if you, it's a door that perhaps doesn't need it so much. Right? So what, you'll put it there. Right? What exactly b'di'evet means could mean different things in different places, and it never really says. I've never really been able to figure out what that means in terms of kosher b'di'evet. I would say that probably means a case by case basis, meaning a person who can easily afford more mezuzah, so b'di'evet, so he should get the new one. But b'di'evet you could rely. I mean, it might depend on how big the loss is. So. Then he continues on and says, V'chasav Moreno Rav Isserlin, B'ksavav, that's the Truma Sedeshin, I'll say for Torah, Shenimsebo Kama Mokomos Chutz L'Daf Gimel, that he found many places like this, that Gimel Osios, three letters, Miteva Gedola, Bazayin Oches, V'gam L'Pamim Mitevas Bas Hei, Ein L'Hakpid B'di'evet, so he wasn't Makan on B'di'evet, V'im Hainu Monim Likrosba, Afilu K'sheish Acheres K'sheira, Hainu Pogun Es Zos, V'havi Kamo D'evet. He says that, and what would happen? So, right, with the Sefer Torah, you have an additional issue of b'di'evet. And that is, b'di'evet, we're not going to say the Sefer Torah is pasul. Okay, but you have five Sifrei Torah in the Arum, right? So use one of the other Sifrei Torah. So the Shrimas Adesha says, not so fast. Don't just say, oh, it's b'di'evet, only kasher b'di'evet, and we won't use it because we have other Sifrei Torah, says the Shrimas Adesha. No, because if you do that, so then you're going to end up... putting a bad name on that Sefer Torah. People are going to think that it's pasul, even though it's not, and that's not an appropriate thing to do either. Then there's this Ron about the sofer who left stuff out. I didn't really understand what he meant by that, but okay. All right. Finally, then we get into Sif Vav here. Now, Sif Vav is an interesting, I would say, historical issue here. There's one halacha, and then there's this Ramah that's picking up on things that is quoted here in the Beis Yosef. So let's take a look here at the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef says, Vav, Kasuva Tosus Ba'akomit, Deshem Tzarek Shiakulu B'toch Hadaf. Tosus makes the comment on that Gemara, the Gemara Menachos, that goes through, rattles off all these halachos about the sizes of the columns. Tosus just adds in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, without a source or without anything, just saying, oh, by the way, the idea that letters could be overhanging the margins, that doesn't apply to the Shem Hashem. Doesn't apply. The name of Hashem has to be totally contained within the margins. Now notice a couple things. One is that this is after the Shulchan Aruch said all of these things are only mitzvah min hamuvchar, right? So this might be ma'akiv. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he would say about this, right? But this is already after he mentioned, this is all l'chadchila v'di'evet, it's okay. It could be that the letters of Hashem Hashem has to be inside. The other issue is, and this is an interesting thing, is we don't necessarily know everything that's Hashem Hashem. Right? What exactly is a Shem Hashem? For instance, if you're writing Megillas Esther, just as a good example, and you say Hamelech, right? So the Gemara says, oh, Hamelech is whenever it says Hamelech, that's really referring to Hashem doing something. So is really right? Is that really going to be considered a Shem Hashem lahalacha? So what is considered and what isn't considered a Shem Hashem is unclear. Okay. Then he quotes from the Rambam, which is really quoting from the Gemara, Shachach lichtov es Hashem kulo. Let's say you left out Hashem's name. right? So tola oso bein hashitos. You could hang it between the letters. Now, this is a thing. This is a thing. I've never seen it in a Sefer Torah. I doubt anyone has. But this is a thing that if you leave out a letter, leave out a word, so you can write it above the letter, that above the word, that would be above the next word, right? That would be okay. Between the lines. Right? Right. Well, I don't. You better hope that there's not a lamed in the bottom one or a kuf in the top one. But yeah. So about Mik, but he says, but the Gemara has a machlokas whether you could do that with the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem might not be appropriate to do that. But mikzem b'shitu miksaso taloi, so possible. But if you have some within the sheet and some outside, it's possible. V'shar hachibos im shacha kosev mikzas hateva b'shita umiksasam lamala. The time when it's given by komis alachak rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Reason was we pass like Shimon Shazuri. Damar kol Hashem tolin umiksaso ain tolin mash for the shar tevos afilu miksasam tolin. Even if some of it is above the line and some of the word is below the line, that would be okay as well. Okay, so that's a halacha, that the Shem Hashem could be added below. There's a, he said here the Shem Hashem could be added above, right? Tola oso ben ashitos, right? There's a sheet in the Gemara that you can't, that it's not appropriate to do with the Shem Hashem. Rather, you have to sort of move things around, but also not the detail, you know, we'll see what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but not much beyond that. You can learn the Gemara in Menachos about. Then, kasav smak. Osios beis yud hei shin mem vav. Tzrichim liyos berosh hadaf. Those six letters should be at the top of the daf. What are those six letters? So those are referring to specific columns in the Torah, right? So the, and he doesn't say what those six, oh, he does say what those six are here. Rav ink peid the bedavar b'diyevet. We're not machban on b'diyevet. Aval goes maimini. There's six columns in the Torah that should have a specific letter on top of it. And the first one is, can you guess what the first letter is, that the first column in the Torah that has to have a specific letter on it?
Gracious.
Right. That's the base, right? What gave it away? Right? So that's the base. So the first letter on the column needs to be a base in Bereishis. Okay? So that, and then there's a few others as well. So let's continue on. So Kasu Shamash and Nogo has so from. Yeah, so that's not a great. The other ones, obviously, it might not. But right, Bevezid Heishin Memvav. So let's see what he says here. So the Ghost Marmi says that the Sofrim do this on top of the Amudim. Chazarti v'diktakti b'divri ha-ga'onim v'lo matzasevo. I never found anything about it. Meaning the Ghost Maimini is not happy about this in Ashkenaz. And by the way, in Ashkenaz, Minhagim is like a big deal, right? Bigger deal than in Sfardland, right? In Sfardland, in Rav Yosef Karo land, he's like, you know, Minhag, like, if it's not in the sources, he doesn't mind. But in Ashkenaz, it's a bigger deal. And the Ghost Maimini said, I looked all over, I didn't find anything about it. Vilafi Parshios Vestumos Shebesefer Zer'iev Sharlakaimo. And he says, and according to the Parshios of what's required to be open and closed, meaning the peis and the samachs that need to take place, you can't make it happen. V'chol sifrei Torah ha'suyakein psula. And he says, and if you do a sefer Torah like this, it's pasul. Sherei parshas Yehuda ata yoducha achecha psucha. He says, because the yud is in parshas Vayechi. Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, right? Pechusa. Now, I looked it up, I'm not sure what his is coming after a pechusa, meaning the previous line ends in the middle. So I'm not sure what the problem is, because in our tikkun, that's the way it appears, right? Now it's a little odd to see, but there you go. So this is Parshas Vayechi.
What are we looking at?
This is the end. This is Parshas Vayechi. Right, it ends at the bottom, in the middle of the line, and it begins at the top of the next line with the word Yehuda. So I'm not sure why he says it can't be, but he says it can't be. V'chein mashenagu sofrim burim, and there's also then the burish sofrim, burish. Lahatchil kol amud bivav. They begin each column with a vav, the korin lo, and they call it the vavei hamudim. What are the vavei hamudim? So that's a little bit of a play on words. The Vavei Hamudim is a pasuk. We'll get to it. It's a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, where where it records all of the monetary values of what was needed in the Beis HaMikdash, or actually Pekudei, I'm sorry, it's in Pekudei, and it lists there the Vavei HaMudim was part of the Mishkan, the hooks that were used to connect the pillars of the Mishkan that went around the side. Those are called the Vavei HaMudim. So it's a little bit of a play on words. The Vavs of the Amuds, right? So Nira Shiesh Isser Gamar. So he says, I think it's Usser to do this, right? Bedavar Ki Osim Es HaMudim Yesh Mehen Racha V'Yesh Mehen Katzer. Because if you do this, there are going to be some Amuds, some columns are going to be wide, and some are going to be skinny. V'chein Pamim Osius Gedolos Esher Lo Kedas, and you're going to make letters that are larger, which isn't appropriate. Ki Lahaskel Amud Bevavin. In order to do it in this way, like the Vav, Chutz Me V'Ha'ida Bam, except with the exception of V'Ha'ida Bam, I guess that's the last V'Ha'ida Bam, Dvarim Lamed Aleph Chav Ches, that must be the very, very end of, V'Ha'ida Bam is the top of the column where Hazinu appears, okay, that's where it begins with V'Ha'ida Bam. Right, so he's quoting here from the Smak, who's very upset about this, thinks that it could be puzzled this way because you're going to end up doing things in different ways. Now, I don't know, puzzle might not mean puzzle. Puzzle, because as we've learned, making columns wider and columns smaller and making words larger and smaller doesn't necessarily puzzle the Sefer Torah. It's just not an appropriate thing to do. But I think what he's saying is, don't do this because it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to mess up the size of the columns in order to get your vavs at the top of every column, especially because I don't see any makor for it. Same thing with the Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav, right? He says, I looked in the Divrei Gaonim, I don't see it. And then Mordechai also says like this, Mashenogu Asofrim Lichto Vavi Hamudim B'Megillah V'Sefer Torah, right, that he put these Vavs on top, E Aisher Chile Avtaline, if I had if I had the strength, I would get rid of it, V'Ein Lahachil Shumam B'Vav, don't begin any column with a Vav, right, just to show them, no column should begin with a Vav, Rak Osios B'Yud Hei Shimem Vav, those will allow, V'Chein Vav Shel V'Idabam, the Mitoch Kach Bali De Kilkul Shemarchivin Makatrina Osios Shelok Adask Deilat something, because by doing so, you're going to make the letters bigger and smaller, which is not okay, by putting vavs on top. But I found the Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav Fil B'Di'evit Pasul, Vavei Dafka L'Charchila Be'inan. But I have found that some say with the Yud Vav Hei that even B'Di'evit would be Pasul. I don't know where that comes from either. But the truth is, none of this has what to be Somechan, and therefore it's not mentioned in the poskim. And then he quotes it from Tashbetz as well, that he said, Bidyevi apostle Sefer Torahs that had this, and therefore it shouldn't be done. Okay, so let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch about this. So we go to page, 5 in the sources here? Page 4, okay. Yeah. So in page 4 in Sif Vav, so first is Shachach Lichtov Es Hashem Kuli, forget to write Hashem's name. Tolo So Bin Ashitos, put it between the lines. Aval Mixos Hashem Bishito Mixoso Toloi Puzzle, to have some of the Shem Hashem in and some of it out, that's Puzzle. Uvishar Tevosim Shachach Kosei Mixos Hateva Bishito Mixoso Lamal. And with other letters, other words, you could have it such that half is below and half is above. Okay, comes and what is the Beis Yosef? What does the Mechaber leave out? The Mechaber leaves out this entire thing about the Vavs and the Bezes and the Yuds, right? He leaves that out. Why does he leave it out? He says we don't pass it like it. So therefore, in his review text, where he's actually just writing what the halachos are, he just doesn't mention it because he doesn't think that it's something that should be done. Comes the Ramah and says, Yesh Sofrim Medaktikim Lichtov Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav Verosh Hamudim. There are Sofrim that are careful about this. V'chein k'tzas ha-medaktikim lichto v'rosh kol amud vav, v'koron oso vavei amudim. And there are those that are careful to begin each column with the letter vav, and they call it the vavei amudim. V'ein l'daktik b'chol zeh, you don't have to be careful about this stuff. V'afilu ha-medaktik yoseh shelo yimat o yirchav haksav l'pamim mishum zeh. And you have to be more careful not to make letters larger or smaller, or columns larger and smaller to do this. Ki kol dvarim elu ein lahem shoresh al mashi yismuchu. Because all of these things, they do not have anything upon which to rely. Okay? So the Rama quotes it and pretty much says, right? Don't bother. The Shach adds on to this. Actually, the the Shach tells you what they are, right? He says the Yud is Yoducha Achecha, which is not, which is, this threw me off. I'm not, the Pasuk is Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha. So I'm not sure if, in our Sifrei Torah, Yehuda is on top. He says Yoducha Achecha is on top. Okay, I'm not sure about that. Hey, Habayim Acharehem, the Parshas B'Shalach, code before the Shira, Shin Shomer Lecha, V'yesh osim shin shoftim v'shoftrim. It's a machlokas what the shin is. And then the mem is matovu. So that you'll see. In Sefer Torah, matovu is the beginning of a column. And vav va'idbam, that's at the end of Sefer Torah. So I'm not sure why this story is like that with Yehuda. Both shiras have something to do, meaning the top of each line of the one before Az Yashir and the top of the column that contains Hazinu are both represented here. Okay. Fine. So you have these six columns plus all the vavs. So it seems like the Rama says to get rid of it. And truth is, the Noda Bihuda has a tshuva where he says to get rid of this stuff. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan, right? And the Aruch HaShulchan... Oh. Yeah, okay, the Shach, the page 5 is the Shach quoting the Rishon that we quoted from. So comes the Aruch HaShulchan here. He says, oh, by the way, uvedavar vavei ha'amudim, yesh rabim v'gedolim me'rishonim v'achronim shetzaku kechruchya alzeh. There are many Rishonim and Achronim that yelled and screamed. I'm not sure what the literal translation is, but was not happy about this. Why? Because by doing so, you mess up all the columns by changing letters. You want to measure it so that a vav comes at the top of each column. Kol amud. Onamze zman rav shiyatz. Period. Okay, so there are those who are very upset about this. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan and says, Omnam zezman rav shiyatz l'or tikun sofer acher yafe. Afnoim, mesudar al vavei hamudim. However, since then, someone has put out a tikun that says, that does it very well, right? That makes it very mesudar in order to be able to achieve these vavei hamudim, these vavs at the top of the columns. Belishum d'chikasos, without pushing, making any of the letters smaller. Ukfar nagu hasofrim lichtuv acharav, and the sofrim has started writing like that. Ubevadai shenachon v'yasher lasos kain, it's definitely appropriate to do so. V'yesh bazeh inyan gadol, and that is it's an inyan gadol to be able to do so. Okay, so all of a sudden, in the late 1800s, the Aruch HaShulchan says, we figured out how to do it. Everybody, all the sofrim should go back to writing vavs at the top of each column, and these six letters should also appear at the top of each column, because someone was able to figure out how to make it happen. Someone was able to figure out how to get it done. Now, I don't know who this person is that was able to figure out how to get it done. I searched around a little bit, didn't see anything, at least in the English web, as to historically how this took place. All I saw is a description that someone came up with one, and the sofrim weren't happy with it, so he came up with another one, was able to work it out so that and that's how, as far as I could tell, Sifrei Torah are written today. Not all the Sifrei Torah in our shul are like that, plus we have some older Sifrei Torah, but the modern Sifrei Torah that come out are all written this way with a vav on top. There is an article, but what is the end? That the end of the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, oh, and this is a Yesod Gadol, an Inyan Gadol. This is like a really big deal, right? Why? Why? What is the very big deal? That's cool, right? You have a vav at the top of each letter. Rabbi J.J. Schachter has a famous piece about the vavei hamudim that it was left out that when Moshe did his accounting, he came up, I think 1775, I think that's the number, short. And then the Medrash describes that that Hashem told him, oh no, plus you left out of the count the Vavei HaMudim. You didn't include them in the count, but really it should be part of the count, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to figure out, he was able to, you know, pass his audit. He was able to make sure that everything, all the money that was given was accounted for in terms of the building of the Mishkan. And the, you know, Rabbi Schachter has a whole drasha about how he, about how the connections that people have with one another is not always quantifiable, but you have to but you must recognize how important they are. And in fact, in the beginning of Bereishis, after Cain killed Hevel, so the pasuk says that Hashem placed Hashem says, Cain, you're going to be exiled, and Cain says, but I'm going to be killed, and Hashem says, I'm going to give you an oath in order to that you'll be protected. And there's different understandings of what that oath was, but one of the suggestions is that it was a vav, because the vav, his strength and connection with other people is what's ultimately going to be able to protect him, right? So that's a very nice drasha. But okay, I can think of a lot of drushas about a lot of letters that should therefore appear at the top of the column. So in this article in Chakira, it talks about the that I put in the sources over there. No, where to go? There it is, right? A quantitative and grammatical analysis of the Shira design. So I never would have thought to look here. I'm not sure even how I found it. But they talk towards the end about the justification of the Vavei HaMudim. If you have it open in front of you, it's on page 160, where they talk, what is this great idea of having of the Vavs, of being on top of each column? So he quotes an idea from the Chida, that it's a Sod Gadol, and they figure out that the he quotes from a chida, and he doesn't quote where this chida is from, that if you take the numerical value, the gematria of each letter and the sophits, and you add them up, right? So you add up all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet plus the nun sofit, the pe sofit, the tzadi sofit, and the mem sofit, right? And count them twice, right? So that comes out to 1775. All right, that's cool, right? That equals the amount of of pillars there. But then he points to this Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, which, you know, I've learned this Gemara in Sanhedrin. And I wonder what I ever thought it was talking about before tonight. So where's the source sheet here? So on the bottom page, if you look in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, the bottom of the Y of the skinny lines. So it says Lama Nikra Shema Ashuris, right? The writing that we have in our Sefer Torah. So it's referred to as Ksav Ashuris. So the pull the Gemara here so I could see everybody. So the Gemara asks, why is it called Ashuris? So he says, well, Shemu Sheris Biksav, because it's the nicest of all the writing. And then it says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Sheomer Mishum Rabbi Elazar Hamudai. He says, Kosav Ze Lo Nishtana Kol Iker. It means it's because this script never changed. It's Ksav Ashuris, which is kind of like Lo Nishtana. I don't know. At least one letter is the same. I don't know. But it sounds like Ksav Ashuris is supposed to be like Lo Nishtana, never changed. Shenemar Vavei HaAmudim. Like it says, Vavim of the Amudim. Ma'amudim Lo Nishtanu. Ah, Vavim Lo Nishtanu. Just as the pillars never changed, so too the Vavs never changed. What is that talking about? So says Rashi here on the side of the page. Yeah. So Yastus Kesef Hasun Kemin Unklos. They were the hooks of silver, the pieces of silver that are made into hooks, right? For Kavum Bamudim, they were used to connect the Amudim Shebehem Tochvin Lulos Kali Hachatzer. Vahamesech V'chol Ankulos Domin Levavin Alma Bimei Moshe Asuyin Havavin Kemo Shalanu. Suggests Rashi that the hook. The hook, vav, right, is a hook size, a shape, right? So the the comparison to these hooks that were used to connect the pillars together looks like vavs. Suggests Rashi that the point of these ksav ashuris is to tell you that the vavs that we have now are the same vavs that appeared on the luchos themselves. That the way that the Torah was brought down, the luchos, how you understand the Torah being brought down, that the Torah itself was written b'ksav ashuris. The Torah itself was written in the same style as the Torah that we have now. And I even saw someplace that other scripts of Hebrew that were used, the vav is not that way. The vav is written in another way, not like a hook. So the authors of this article are suggesting that the reason why every column begins with a letter vav is to remind you of the vavei hamudim. What does the vavei hamudim remind us of? So based on its use in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the vavs that we have today are the same vavs that appeared in the Torah itself. And therefore, you would extrapolate that to all the rest of our letters, that the letters that we have today in our Sefer Torahs are the same letters that appeared many years ago, you know, all the way back, despite the fact that there was a change in the letters along the way. Our Ksav Ashuris is the same as the letters that go all the way back. And that's perhaps what's being hinted at by having these vavs at the top of each column, and that perhaps is what the Aruch HaShulchan's Yesod Gadol, or I forget the terminology he used, that perhaps is what the Aruch HaShulchan's Inyan Gadol was. That the vav at the top of each page reminds us that the letters as we have in front of us are the same letters that have been read for thousands and thousands of years before us. So, I don't know, take it or leave it. I thought that was a pretty cool thing. And now you'll know what you're looking at in the Sefer Torah. Yeah.
If you look at the shards or the pieces of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that script is completely different.
Right.
So how do you say the script goes back thousands of years? I'm confused.
Rashi's suggestion is that this is the way it was written. It stopped being written that way. Started written in other ways. I looked around today. You can look on Google. On Wikipedia, it has old scripts. Somehow it changed. You can read this is the sugya where that's discussed in Sanhedrin, right? And it changed for a little bit, and then was brought back to being the Ksav Ashuris. So back to being what we have today. That's the theory, at least being presented.
The question for David Flug, I think, that's his area.
Oh, he's
he's like all these origins of languages. He spent a lot of time on that.
Uh huh. I could send it to Barry Eichler as well. See what his thoughts are.
The direct person, yeah.
All right. So, anyways, that is that's a theory. Take it or leave it, but at least you'll have something to think about when you see the top of a column of the Sefer Torah. And now in Beth HaMedrash, you could actually see the top of the columns. Of course, we have that new divider as opposed to the divider that we used to have. So, all right, Yashikach, and we'll Mirza Hashem pick up next week.
Thank you.